Good. All right, we'll run through this. There's no fill-ins, apparently, on your notes. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wow. Don't fall asleep. All right, we're going to look at five ways to increase your charisma. And all five of these and the subsequent points correlate to the 20 questions, the 20 statements that you took on your personal evaluation. So this is a compilation of all my research of people who studied charisma and written about it, descriptions of what charisma is and how we improve it. So the first category is cultivate your mind. Cultivate your mind. And some of these are going to appeal to some of you more than others. Some of you may like that one. Others may really not like this one at all. So there'll be something here for everybody, though. How do you do that? Read widely and deeply. Cultivate your mind because influential people have something to say. They're interesting. People want to hear them talk, want to know what they think because they've read, they have researched, they've thought, and they have interesting and provocative things to say, and that's attractive. So you get there by reading widely and deeply, and I use both those adjectives because they're both important. Widely means that you don't just read the basic latest Christian book, but you expand your influence. Read what the other side is saying. Read old books. Read books that are about unrelated topics to ministry. Just have an extensive reading. And then that's widely, and then deeply in some topics, some areas, some things, read deep into that. Because you're going to find as we progress that one of the characteristics of charisma is that you have a specialty. There's something you know about, something you can do that sets you above most people. So you find something that's particularly interesting to you, something that you really give yourself to. Does that make sense to you? I read John Piper made a comment last year. I was doing some reading, and he suggested the value of finding one classic Christian author and becoming very proficient with that author, like reading and really understanding that person. And I like that. So I have chosen Charles Spurgeon, who's actually the most prolific Christian writer in the history of the church. If you took all of his writings, it'd like fill up 63 volumes. His writings are more extensive than any other single author in the 2,000 years of church history. So it's a daunting project, and I'll never accomplish it in my lifetime. But I'm making him sort of a specialty and really getting into that person. So that's deeply, see, picking something that you really go into. And of course, it ties into my specialty interest is preaching. And he is the greatest, considered the prince of preachers and the greatest preacher probably in the English, used to use the English language in the history of the world. Next subpoint under cultivate your mind, fellowship with intelligent and articulate people. Do you hang around with people who are smarter than you are? Now, you know, for some people that doesn't take much. Others, you might have to look outside your normal sphere. But hang out with people who are smarter than you with some degree of regularity. When I'm in the States, and when all three of us are in town, we gather in this particular place called the Flying Saucer in downtown Nashville. Myself and Bruce Fiddler, who I don't know if many of you know. Some of you know, yeah. He's been here, I think, but it's been a while. And Stephen Mansfield, who you might know. Of course, he was just here last year, right? Did you hear him speak when he was here? And those are two of the smartest people that I know. And we hang out down there. And so that's a big day for me. I come actually with questions or topics to discuss, to kind of throw out and let and hear what they're going to say and challenge one another. And I mean, I'm way out of my element when I'm with those two guys. But I like to do that. It just really challenges my intellect and makes me think things I haven't thought before. It improves my thinking ability. So fellowship with intelligent and articulate people, not only both those people intelligent, but they can express themselves well. Number three, under cultivate your mind, continue your educational and professional development. Now, you're doing that here because you're being forced, right? But you have to do that on your own. Even when staff development, we're going to be done here soon, a month or two, and there'll be no more. But it's the onus is on you, the responsibility is on you to ongoing training. Keep improving yourself professionally, educationally. For some of you, that probably means an advanced degree. For others, it means more seminar-type training. Or some people need an organized system. For myself, I have no advanced degrees or postgraduate degrees. I'm just a pure autodidact, just self-taught. And that's fine for me, because I'm motivated. Now, some people need a sort of a program, or they need to be forced. And, you know, just recognize that about yourself and put yourself in a cage like that. Force yourself to have to do it. I asked a friend of mine years ago who was getting his PhD from a Jesuit university in St. Louis, a very high academic standards. I mean, this is one of the top places in the States. And he was in his PhD program. And I was asking him, you know, should I pursue, get other degrees? And he asked me this question. He said, what do you want the information for? Why do you want to do it? And as I talked to him about it, his advice was, he says, get advanced degrees if you need them for what you think God's called you to do. There's some jobs, there's some places that unless you have the credentials, you can't influence. I didn't think God was calling me in that direction. He did. That's why he was doing it. He said, if I didn't feel like I had to have this paper, this is one of the worst ways to learn, because there's so much I'm forced to learn in this degree program. It has absolutely nothing to do with anything that I need to know. So the best thing is through self-learning, if you're disciplined enough and if you don't need the paper. You know what I mean by that? The credentials. So continue your educational development either through self-training or through some kind of program. And finally, number four, improve your vocabulary. This is a big area for me. There have been hundreds of studies done about vocabulary, and the direct correlation between influence, between career advancement, and actually there is a direct, undeniable corollary between vocabulary development and income. It's undeniable. Too much research has been done that proves there's a direct correlation between vocabulary and how much money you make. And I try my best to motivate people to improve their vocabulary, and that's one of my big selling points. You will make more money. If that doesn't influence you, I got nothing left. Fascinating. Sharpens your communication. When people ask me, I want to be a better communicator, what should I do? The first thing I tell them, get a strategic plan to improve your vocabulary, which really shocks them. But that's the number one best way you can improve your ability to communicate. Is to strategically, systematically increasing your vocabulary. Not just sleeping on a dictionary. I mean, actually having some kind of plan to improve your vocabulary. Because what words do, words contain ideas. You see, that's why there's a direct corollary between IQ and vocabulary. Higher vocabulary, always higher IQ. It's not just because the tests are skewed in that way. It's because words carry ideas. You can't have certain ideas and thoughts if you don't have the words for them. And so words are containers. And as you improve your vocabulary, your ability to think about things is increased. So it sharpens your understanding, but also it intensifies the clarity of your communication. Mark Twain once said, the difference between the right word and the almost right word is like the difference between lightning and a lightning bug. There's a huge, significant difference. And it's vocabulary development that sharpens your concepts in your mind so you can communicate nuances of meaning with clarity, cogency, and power. It just starts with a systematic vocabulary development. I've been doing it for 20 plus years, and there's no other one thing that has made me an effective public speaker more than vocabulary development. CJ?
Yeah, Pastor Paul, I'm just thinking about it. When you say strategic plan to improve your vocabulary, how does that look in a practical setting? Can you like maybe give us snapshots of it?
Sure.
So
yeah.
We can earn more money.
Amen.
I just wanted to.
Lots of things you can do. Lots of things you can do. There are books, first of all. Improve your vocabulary. Okay? I've got half a dozen in my library. 30 Days to a Better Vocabulary. My favorite title is called I Always Look Up the Word Egregious. So all kinds of books written on vocabulary. And they'll have a section. They'll talk to you about vocabulary, certain kinds of words, and then give you tests and various different things, practical exercises, and just like a workbook. So you can systematically work through that. I've done that with half a dozen books, and that's helpful. For a number of years, I received a daily email from dictionary.com. Word of the day. You can sign up for that. I read authors who use words that I don't know. And when I come across a word, I will underline it and then I'll turn to the back of the book. I don't look it up right there because it breaks the continuity. So, but I earmark it, write it in the back, the word with the page number, and then when I've collected some, then I'll go and I'll write my definitions out in the back of the book and then go back to that page again and think through it in that context. I also did various different kinds of electronic devices. In the old Windows 3.1, which I think was before most of you were born, my first operating system, my first computer, it was not a laptop. What do you call the other things?
Desktop.
Yeah, desktop. Thank you. It had 4 meg of RAM. 4. And a 40 meg hard drive. The entire hard drive. 40 meg. That's just how old I am. A year later, I got my first laptop. It had 4 meg of RAM, but I upgraded to 8. It cost me $200 for 4 meg of RAM.
Wow.
Isn't that astonishing? But the old Windows 3.1 had a little, they called them applets back then, called card file, which was like a 3x5 box of index cards. Right, so it had a little, at the top you could write something, and then like an index card, only a digital version. So that was my first kind of strategic way to do it. I would put the word and then the definition underneath it. And of course, you could go through it like a card file, so you could just look at the word and then see if you got the definition right. And then as sophistication increased. I got my first PDA, Palm Pilot, right? And then I would keep them in there. And very back before the computer, I actually kept a little notebook. And I would write words when I would hear them. So I've used all kinds of different methods. And there's just as many as you can think of. Just get something, strategically do it. So I'm even now at 56, I'm still improving my vocabulary. Regularly, daily, consistently. It's harder to remember the words now. Like, I think I knew that word before. Okay, improve your attitude, number two. Now see, the first one comes easy to me. The second one takes a little more work. Improve your attitude. Here's some things I've learned. Express enthusiasm for people and projects. You'd be surprised just by... Dan, I'm talking to you because we need to improve our people skills, right? This is a good one right here. See, I just would write this down in my mind. Consciously express enthusiasm for people and projects. So someone tells me about something they're doing, I would actively, consciously, not intuitively. Okay, I don't do this intuitively. I would have to consciously do it. Do you understand the difference? See, because I didn't get that starter kit. So this is something I had to practice. Being enthusiastic about what you're doing. And it's amazing how much influence that gives you with people. It's just a skill that you can learn and get better at. Exude confidence. Yeah. Well, how do you do that? One of the hardest things for me to do is to meet new people. I'm naturally shy and introspective. I mean, that's just my natural bent. That's why I just much rather sit at home with some good books and talk to people about every third day. That's just about the right mix. And you have to go to a new place where I don't know anybody and I have to just introduce myself. It's terrifying to me. And I have to psych myself up. I got like a little pre-game pep talk, you know. Just looking in the mirror. You're an interesting person. Yes, I'm an interesting person. People want to meet you. Yes, people want to meet me. I am friendly. Yes, I'm friendly. I'm outgoing. Yes, I'm outgoing. And I think about people that I know who just do this in their sleep. And I try to be like them. So, you know, I'm just going to act like, I got this friend named Mike. So I'm going to act like Mike. Now, what would he do here in this situation? Just exude confidence. And I think because of that, most people would be surprised to know that that's not me, that I'm extremely introspective and shy, introverted. It's just to influence people, I just had to do it. So it's just a skill you can learn. Display a positive outlook on life, okay? Now, I'm a natural-born pessimist. Really, it's in my DNA. If you could evaluate my genetic code, negativity is just built into it. You know the expression, the glass half full? My glass is always half empty with a crack in it. I mean, I'm just bent that way. It's just... I just go that direction naturally. And so this is just a conscious, regular thing. Display a positive outlook. Life is good. Yes, there's good things ahead. Good things will happen. And it works. Express a strong purpose and a clear vision. See, that's what's attractive to people. People who know where they're going and can articulate that vision. That is attractive to people. That's a person who knows where they're going, they got a clear vision, and looks like they're going to get there. I want to go with them because I think they can take me there. All right? You doing okay? Not as many questions on this one. This is just really practical things, but if you have any pushback or thoughts, just let me know, okay? Number three, expand your achievements. So cultivate your mind, improve your attitudes, expand your achievements. Now, this is important. Remember, achievement was the fourth level of charisma. Discover the gifts God has given you and use them. I can't stress that too much. Spend most of your time developing, improving the gifts God's given you. Work on those. Find out what they are. You know, for some of us, we're still in the discovery process. But as you find them, then begin to put your emphasis and time towards that. Instead of just doing a lot of different things, try to focus more on that. Matter of fact, what you ought to try to do as a goal is every week I want to try to spend just a little bit more time doing what I do best and a little less time doing what I'm not that good at. Develop expertise in particular skills. I would highly encourage you on this. This is the era of the specialist. And learning a particular thing or becoming especially good at a particular thing will open up doors to you, give you new influence, expand your economic situation dramatically. So I look at what you do. If you think you're called to campus ministry for a long time, think about the different aspects of campus ministry. What do you do best? And how can you be the best person in that particular area that there is? Find a specialty and develop it. In 2006, I attended my first Strength Finder seminar, and something clicked with me about that, and so I began to research, and then I started doing seminars, and just that particular skill has opened up so many different doors to me. It's interesting, the reason why I'm here in the Philippines originally was because of Strength Finder. Steve heard me. I was doing a brief 45-minute session at one of the pastor's trainings. And afterwards, he told me, "You just explained Joey Bonifacio to me for the first time in my life." He said, "You've got to come to the Philippines and teach that." That was October 2008. I was here. I did 18 different teams. I mean, we're just slotting one after another. I did 350 people were in those sessions in the assessment. That opened the door here. And then by 2009, I was starting to come regularly, and here I am. So find a specialty and develop it. Set clear goals and work diligently to achieve them. I mean, even if you're not you might not be the kind of goal setter, I'm really not, that gets very specific about that, but at least general goals. Here's where I'm going, here's what I'm going to do, and here's how I'm going to accomplish it. Find good role models. You become what you look at continually. Find leaders with a successful track record and learn from them. All right? Everybody okay? Number four, develop your presentation. Practice positive body language and good posture. Positive body language. Now, you know about that, right? Body language. Have you seen some of the statistics about percentage of how much information is communicated through words as opposed to intonation and then body language? It's pretty amazing, isn't it? A lot of communication happens through body language, through your postures, through how you present yourself. And it's actually a skill that you can improve, you can get better at. I've always walked sort of and had a bad posture, and it's really a genetic thing in my family, and it comes through my mom's line. All of them are sloped back, kind of rounded shoulder, you know. And so what I taught this in one of my classes in the States a number of years ago, and one of our students trained us on good posture, how to walk upright and walk with confidence and with posture. And I'm still practicing that. I'm still consciously thinking, am I walking upright? Am I standing straight when I'm communicating? Because this is my natural right there, okay? Most comfortable right there. I have to concentrate to stand upright and to walk like that. And it exudes confidence. And it's all part of the package of charisma. Dress in a way that expresses confidence and pride. Okay? Now again, this could go to vanity pretty easily, especially if you're bent in that direction. I'm not. I hate shopping. Okay? I hate the whole concept, right? To me, going to the mall to shop, well, it's not quite hell. It's more like purgatory. You know the difference, right? Because purgatory, you eventually get out. So you eventually do get out of the mall, so it's not quite hell. It's purgatory. The idea of shopping, I hate it. So I've simplified it for me. So I wear one particular brand of shirt, an Eddie Bauer dress shirt, and I wear Levi jeans. And I know the exact, it's the 505, and I know the exact size. So we go to the mall, and it's simple. Bam, 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 15 minutes. Or even better now, we just go online, Eddie Bauer, I'll take that one, and that one, they ship it to me. Bam. So I hate the whole idea of this one right here. And I'm a lot more comfortable in shorts and a t-shirt. But you have to do it for the sake of other people. Right? Now some of you really like this one already, okay? But maybe there's some vanity involved in it. So we might have to curtail you a little bit. Others of you who just are a little sloppy and lazy need to up your game a little bit more, because people, you're about influencing people. All right? Display a genuine smile often. This is awesome. I can't tell you what changed in my life when I learned. I practice smiling. It's amazing what a smile can do. It is so effective. When I travel, anytime I do business with anybody or meet people, consciously smiling, it just changes the whole environment, the whole situation. Huge power in smiling. And you should practice it. And do it a lot. Think about, am I smiling? It's charisma. It is charisma. Display a sense of humor. Laugh at yourself. Watch funny people. And there's so many of them. That's the only joy I get out of going to the mall with my wife here in the Philippines. You know, Americans are funny in their own stupid way. Filipinos are funny in their own way, okay? Sorry. I'm not trying to suggest that Filipinos are more funny than Americans. We have our quirks too. But Filipino quirks are new to us, so they're funnier to us. It's just a great source of entertainment. It's the only thing I enjoy about Market is I'm thinking, do you really want to wear those shoes? Those are the stupidest things. I can't believe. I think this is the stupid shoe capital of the world. Really? No, that just does not even... Who lets you go out of the house with those shoes on? Anyway, that's just my own little pet peeve. Laugh at yourself. Laugh at people. Develop a sense of humor. You can increase a sense of humor. Now, Filipinos, I think... they're genetically wired towards humor. So maybe I'm just preaching to the choir on that one. Finally, last one, strengthen your communication. Strengthen your communication. It was interesting, all the research that I did about charisma, all of the sites, all the books, everything, one of the main things they emphasized was communication ability. There was a direct corollary between charisma and the ability to articulate and communicate. So, constantly improve your verbal and written communication skills. And I'm always doing that. I'm watching people who communicate well, asking myself, what did they do? What can I learn from them? Or people who don't communicate well, note to self, don't ever do what they just did. And watching movies for the sake of how did that director communicate his message, and how can I bring that into my communication? So constantly developing my communication skills. Number two, speak confidently with the appropriate volume. I'm working with our School of Campus Ministry now. Every Monday I'm there with them. And Mondays is their worst nightmare. But I'm forcing them to speak up when they talk. You know, most of them are just too soft-spoken. And that's not good if you want to lead. You have to speak with confidence and with volume. And if you're a little bit more of a shy or more timid person, you have to work on this and concentrate on speaking with confidence and volume. It will influence and affect people. And listen actively when others speak. Maintain eye contact when speaking and listening to other people. All right? What I'd like you to do, we're going to close the last few minutes. I want you to look through that list, and I want you to write down three things from that list that really stood out to you that you can do immediately to improve your charisma rating. What will help you, aid you the most out of that list that you can start on that really stood out to you? Top 1, 2, 3, write that down. Maybe something practical, what you could begin to do. Yeah, the 20 points, right. Something that was sparked from that. I will begin to. I will do this. I will start. I will stop, etc. All right. I'm just going to ask for a few examples. So, Christian, tell us, number one, what did you say that you could do?
I'll start reading widely and deeply.
Okay. What does that mean? What are you going to read?
Books.
Books. Yeah. Wow.
Because
that's a radical thought.
Actually, I admit that I am not a voracious reader.
Yeah.
But in the university, I was required to read.
Yeah.
And you know, when it's required,
sure, you
but
do more.
I will take. It will literally take a lot of deliberate effort on my part to read voraciously.
Okay. Yeah. So let's do this. See, if you don't take that and make that more tangible, he's not really going to do it. And you're not going to know if you did it or not. What do you mean by that? So what I would, you set something like this. I will read
one book a month.
Okay, for 1 year or something like that. Set a time frame to be evaluated then. I'm not putting words in your mouth. You have to decide. But you see, if you just write things down like I'm going to read more, what does that mean? You don't have any way to evaluate. So be specific with yourself. That means I'm going to read a full book every month for time period, and then I'm going to evaluate. Then I'm going to try to increase, something like that.
All right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Great. Good. Dar, what do you got? You can sit. You don't have to stand.
Okay. I agree with that. I need to read more books that is not connected to like church.
So what does that mean? Let's get practical. What are you going to do?
Like, I need to read more nonfiction.
I know you need
authors.
To. You need to, but what are you actually going to do?
Oh, read one novel, I guess.
Okay. For the rest of your life?
No, but maybe every 2 months.
Okay. Would you like some suggestions?
Sure.
Okay, would you email me?
Okay, yes.
And I'll give you some suggestions.
Okay.
Great, yeah.
Thank you.
Good, that's good. Okay, Joey, what you got?
I will start to constantly improve my vocabulary. Maybe learn one new word every 3 days and try to apply it.
Yeah,
because I can't do it every day, one new word.
If you come to my school in Nashville, we learn 3 words a day, 15 a week that they're constantly tested on. So by the end of the 8 weeks, you have 100 new words that are indelibly stamped on your brain, that even if you want to forget them, you can't. It's impossible. So you're going to have to go beyond that. You're going to have to think about some kind of method. How am I going to evaluate that? How am I going to hold myself accountable? Where am I going to get the words from? So you got to make this more tangible for it to have any lasting impact. But that's a good thing to do. All right, great. Tony, what you got?
Actually, both Christians and
good. What are you gonna do,
Joey? I'm gonna say the third one.
Say it.
So, I'm gonna constantly improve my verbal and written communication skills by finding a person who knows about English and Filipino grammar who can teach me about it.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'd set myself a goal, but within 1 month, I will have discovered this person, and I will be starting my process or something like that. Okay, I'm just trying to make it real tangible and specific. What you got for me, Jeff?
I will interact with intelligent and...
Do you know any, Jeff? Do you know any?
Well, to be more tangible, I'm thinking to have 1 hour time with you. Very often.
Such a great answer.
Yeah.
You got my email, just
okay.
Set up time.
All right.
You better be ready, though.
I will.
Can you handle this? I don't know if you can. Owie, just because I love your name. Is it Owie? Oh, I like Owie.
Thank you for giving me a unique name. I wrote here
to
constantly improve my verbal and written communication.
How are you going to do that, Owie?
I'm going to try to blog at least once a month.
You're going to try to do what?
To write a blog.
Write a blog
once a month.
I noticed you
That's doable.
It is, but I noticed you said I'm going to try. Yeah, you can't say I'm going to try.
I'm going to write a blog.
Once a month?
Once a month.
Yeah, okay. For how long? You know, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth to have you make decisions now. What I'm trying to do is to show you, if you don't get specific with these things, it'll just be something that you were convicted of this afternoon, and then you'll go up tonight, there's going to be phone calls and emails, and people are going to call and talk, and you're just going to forget everything that happened. So you get the more specific, you lock yourself in with these kind of statements like that, and then something really significant changes as a result. Okay? That's probably enough for today. Let's go home.